Kings chapter 10, verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue. She had a crew with us. She had a real posse. Listen to this part. With camels that bore spices, very much gold, precious stone. Does that sound familiar? And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all of her questions, and there was nothing so difficult that the king could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, listen to what I'm saying, verse 5, and the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and the entranceway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. Took a breath away. Oh, girl, lost a breath. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words." There are people who don't believe it, but they're going to believe it, "until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told. Your wisdom and your prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men." How many happy men are in the place? "And happy are these your servants who stand continuously before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delights in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved refresh." The Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Then she gave him, the king, listen to this. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold. That's 4.5 tons. Think about it. Spices in abundant and great quantity. Precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you for this very, very much open season. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. And Father, this is not an opportunity that we pass by. Awaken our spirits and open up our ears and allow us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do not let us be indoctrinated by things that will hinder us from receiving all that you have for us. Now, Spirit of the living God, you've always done all things well. You've never failed at anything that you said you would do. And we believe right now that you're faithful and you uphold your word, and we believe your word. Therefore, we are partakers and beneficiaries of your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Go ahead and sit down and tell somebody next to you, "These are my wealthy days." Now, say it with an attitude. "These are my wealthy days." Make them jealous with your testimony before you get your stuff. Tell them, "These are my wealthy days." Say it like you got authority. "These are my wealthy days." You might need to put your hand on your hip with an attitude and say, "You ain't going to talk me out of this one. You can look at me funny all you want to. You looking at me funny, don't stop my money." Your authority to get wealth. The authority to get wealth. Part number 8. You know, some people get offended when you start teaching like this. They think you're after something that they don't have. And why would a thief break in and rob an empty house? We got to get something in there before you can accuse us of trying to get something from you. So our objective is to bring on you what God has planned for you, so you don't have to fake it to make it. Because everybody driving those cars out there can't pay for it. All right. So just stay with me here. This portion of scripture that I read to you is a very important portion of scripture that I preach. And I think I preached this back in 2014 as well. So people who have been around, they prospered off of it and then they deviated over into religion. Now, you can't deviate like that. When you prospered off of a certain thing, the sustainment of that certain thing, you may keep the stuff, but you won't be happy. I don't know why you're driving a new car and you get out with a frown on your face. You got the house you wanted, you still not happy? The blessings of the Lord make a rich and add no sorrow with it. When you deviate, when you get God's wealth, you're going to be very unhappy. Just stay with me here, because God is not slack in his promises. They are yes and amen. And don't tell me I can't preach this. I built this on what I preach. Everything that I preach was used to build what we have. Now, you think I'm going to change my doctrine because I got a few people who want to remain ignorant and keep people in slavery in their thought pattern because they're afraid that somebody's going to get ahead of them? We're all in this thing together. When you mention refresh, it's every location, every group of people. Look at your neighbor, tell them we're all going. Yeah. Yeah. If you ain't fighting it, you're going to get there. If you ain't against it, you're going to get there. If you ain't talking against it and trying to curse it, you're going to get there. If you ain't doubting the message, you're going to obtain the message. So there's a description in the scripture that you would not get unless you have somebody to help to guide you through the scripture. There's one thing to be able to read the Bible, but there's another thing to be able to understand what you're reading or having someone to help you to understand the reading. Because there was a man that did not understand, and Philip came and joined himself to him. This is the New Testament. This is not Old Testament. Joined himself to bring more understanding to the book of Isaiah that he was reading. He said, I don't have the understanding. He said, well, let me sit down with you. And he was one of those Ethiopian people. And you got to understand, dark-skinned people had some money back then, too. Yeah. Yeah, they had some serious money. If she gave 4.5 tons, they had some serious stuff going on. So this Philip guy, he's running from this attack. There were always and always has been attacks on God's church, but he finds himself on the run. This is not in my message, but this is just added. He finds himself on the run because of the attack that came in Jerusalem. So while he's on the run, the pressure will always push you to purpose. So pressure pushed him into his purpose. So he joins himself, gives understanding. Now this man who has wealth, he's in his own chariot. Every other person of that color would walk, but he wasn't walking because he was hooked up with the queen. So being hooked up with the queen, he had possessions, and then he wanted to be baptized. What do I do next? And Philip took him and baptized him, and then he vanished. Then he went on to his next assignment, which was in Samaria. That's when he went and dethroned witchcraft over Samaria. There's something moving in the earth. There's something moving in the earth because where your wealth is, it needs revelation. That's why you got to know your Bible. Just because they have wealth doesn't mean they understand the word. And they're hungry for understanding and they have wealth. Maybe your wealth is tied to the understanding you can bring to somebody's life. So I want to give you 7 things that are needed when wealth or camels arrive. These are practical things. These are not deep. Just breaking it down for you. 7 things that are needed when wealth or camels arrive. Now we can hop around, but if we get these 7 things, the hopping is over. It ain't gonna just be believing, it's gonna be some receiving. There's a right posture for everything. There's a right posture for everything. When you get ready for God to do what he wants you to do, it's not that it's hard for God, it's difficult for you to get in the right posture. So number one, this is very important. It comes from the scriptures that I read to you. Now, you already see this woman's got it going on. But the thing of it is, she doesn't have it going on so much that is greater than King Solomon. So she's not a compromise to him at this time. But she's rolling. Number one, wisdom is needed to answer questions. Wisdom is needed to answer questions. I spent years watching interviews of my pastor. Not his preaching. I spent years of seeing him sit on a panel and questions being asked to see how he would answer questions. Because when the time comes, they're going to ask questions and you got to have the answer. So the first thing is you got to have enough wisdom about what's going on in the midst of you that when those who are coming that's got 4.5 tons of gold and bags of spices, you got to be able to tell them what's going on. So you got to have wisdom and you got to have some understanding so that you can answer the questions. Anything you ask me about Refresh, I can explain it. Those who don't come ask me want to create confusion, because I can answer any question about Refresh because I built Refresh. Under the guidance of God, I built Refresh. So when those come and ask me about Refresh, then I can give them an answer. So here it is, the Queen of Sheba. She's asking these hard questions. So we have to come to the realization that whom we meet at the park in the parking lot has got to be able to answer questions. Who we meet at the front door has got to be able to answer questions. Who we meet at the pew that ushers us into our seat has got to be able to answer questions, because we're setting ourselves up because there's about to be a great deposit. So we can't say, I don't know. If you say, I don't know, it can deter what God has for your life. Now, let me break it down. For your household, for your business, you have to have adequate information and wisdom about your business. If you don't know how to answer questions concerning your business, it can deter the financial wealth that comes to your business. See, I'm going to help y'all with something. Your next dimension of operation is based on your wisdom about your own assets. What you have stewardship over. So if the bank wants to give you a loan, if you don't know your financials, you're not going to get that loan. So we're going to break it down, bring it home. You need to know your financials in your house. You need to know your expenditures and you need to know your income. How many dependents are in your house? Not Susie's kid and Johnny's kid. How many kids do you have? So you got to start practicing this stuff. You can't, no, we ain't got time for that kind of stuff. You got to be prepared when this season comes. And I'm helping y'all in here because the camels are not coming. The camels are here. And somebody's about to be asked some questions. And I know I'm helping you right now. I know you don't want to hear it from me, but you may turn your 100,000 up, but I'm going to turn my millions in. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you can't handle the questions, not as much is going to come to your front door. So wisdom is needed to answer questions. Never say, well, I've been here since the church started, and you can't answer questions. Just be quiet. Don't let them find out you've been here ever since inception and you don't know where the restrooms are. So she had questions. This is the thing you have to understand about people who have resources. They ask a lot of questions. They don't just go with your word. They ask a lot of questions. They dig deep. They want to know a lot. What were you doing back 10 years ago? How did you do this? They want to know all the details. This woman has wealth. She wants to know all the details. She's already got it in her mind. I'm going to drop something before I leave here, and I got to make sure that it's stable. If you can answer the questions, it relates to your stability. If you can't answer questions, then you're unstable. Who wants to invest in something that's not stable? I'm preaching up in here already. I'm coming right down your road. It's not that the God doesn't want it for you. Do you know enough about what you do so that you can tell them and they can believe what you said and say, here we go, let's drop it right here. You ever heard of a business plan? It's how you're going to walk things out. It's what you're going to do, and you can put it on paper and they buy in. If you can write it down, see, the church is kind of backwards. They think they don't have to have a business plan. It's called a vision. What are you planning to do in 3 years? What are you planning to do in 5 years? What are you planning on doing in 10 years? It's not a vision board hanging out with your girlfriends. It's a plan that you can lay out, and it's written out, and you can make somebody believe it because they saw what you read and you believe what you read. See, some of y'all got a problem with me because I believe what I'm preaching. You want me to draw back, but I believe because I've seen this thing work too many times, and I can't be broke if I'm up here talking like this for this long, because being empty in my pocket will shut down my voice. All right. Wisdom is needed to answer questions. What did King Solomon do? He answered questions. Listen to this. Your living quarters should be in order. Your living quarters should be in order. What did she look at? She looked at his house. It's all here in scripture. She looked at his house. God even looks at the house before he promotes somebody in leadership. If your house is out of order, you can't bring nothing but disorder to his house. So he looks at the house. She looks at the house. His house is just as important. So she looks at his house. Not the size of it, the order of it. Let's break it down. Is your house clean? Are the clothes washed? What does the inside of your living quarters look like? Because it's a reflection of your thinking. Because if your house is a mess, your mind is a mess. But if we get your mind right, your house will be right. See, y'all trying to judge a lot of stuff, and y'all looking at people, how people look when you see them at church. Now you got to go home with them. This woman saw his house. She saw the inside of his house. She saw his lawn care. If grass is growing up to here at your house, then it's growing up to here in your mind, and you're wondering why you can't work through the weeds. I'm just getting you ready. Are y'all ready for the camels? Yeah, somebody shout order, order, order. See, you gotta get some order in your house. And we wonder why you can't get it right here, because you ain't got it right there. They think I mean I'm orderly. You'd never call orderly mean. Order keeps you going when nobody else is going. So she looks at his house. You want me to prove it? I'll go right back. Let's go back. Let's go back. We just need to prove it. Let's go back in scripture. Because some of y'all don't believe me. You read the same thing I read, and you don't believe me. So in verse 4, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 4, and the queen of Sheba, or when the queen of Sheba has seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built. This dude is an architect. See, this is the problem in the church. You see all this, and you try to downgrade me. You're not a good architect. You don't read things well. She looked because of experience. Ain't no way you could be operating like that and you were unstable. I can tell you got stewardship. I can look at your house and I can tell you got stewardship. Okay. All right. So your living quarters should be in order. So we're going home this evening, And everything that's out of order, we're going to start getting it in order. I'm shifting your mind. You're going to shift your house. Now, we just got done painting in the house, in our house. We just got done painting. So we got pictures, you know, still, because Lady Davis don't want certain pictures back in certain places because they don't match the elegancy of the house. Okay. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. Okay. So how you think about it is church. No, my house is important too. Because if my house is jacked up, there's going to be some bleed over no matter how much I try to keep it separate. If it ain't no peace at my house. All right. Number three, have a diet for kings. Have a diet for kings. Now, y'all think that's a big steak. Now, you got to stop eating what's going to kill you early. Kings needed to exist. The problem with church folks, they just like Eli. Eli got so big, he fell over and broke his neck. So you got to get control of your eating habits. You got to take care of yourself, and you got to eat like you need to be around here for a long time. See, it's not that I don't like certain things. I love dessert. I love desserts more now than I did a while back because at least these treats, they're just tearing it up. But I know I can't eat desserts every day, all the time, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I got to shift my diet. Because the wealth that's coming, I need to stay around long enough to transfer it to another generation. I don't need my eating habits to cause me to have sugar diabetes. You understand what I'm saying? What was on the king's table didn't make the king sick. So you start removing things off of your table that makes you sick. I don't think that's spiritual. I think that's long life. God can trust you longer if you do things to stay here longer. We eat a lot of baked foods now. We don't eat that many fried foods. You know, I think genetically there's some cholesterol problems that was passed down the line in our bloodline. So when I go get my annual exam, they always check my cholesterol. And they never say it's high. Sometimes they'll say it's on the high side. And that's good enough for me. If it's on the high side, I'm going to get it on the low side. That, you know, you ain't got to tell me it's high if it's not. No, we going to boil our meat if we have to. But we going to get it down to where it's supposed to be. You ain't got to fight me. I'm not going to have no more fried chicken right now. So every restaurant that's frying chicken in deep oil, you ain't going to see me. I got to live. I got stuff to do. You got to live. You got stuff to do. You got wealth to steward. You don't need to be dying early. Got all that wealth, and here you are. You're having an attack, and we're trying to call the paramedics in because you're doing something you shouldn't be doing with your own body. Good old Bradford know how to cook healthy. If you don't know how to cook healthy, they'll cook you some healthy food. Tell them I'm going somewhere. My camels are coming and I'm going to be there to see them deliver. Yes, I am. Have a diet for kings. Have a diet for kings. Just because you want it doesn't mean it works for you. Anything that got you burping all night, don't eat it another night. Don't eat it another night. If you got me feeling bloated, I'm done with you. Anything that makes me feel bloated, that's the last time you offer my menu list. Some things after 5 o'clock, there is no consideration. I got to be around. I got a harvest coming. I'm not about to mess up this thing. I've been doing too good for too long. I'm not fixing to mess up now. You may not have to stay on the treadmill so long if you have the king's diet. Don't work against yourself. Get that diet right. I know Denise over there, she's blunt, she's listening. Get that diet right. He said, the weight's coming off. Yeah, your diet's right. You're not taking in as many calories. You don't have all that stuff in it that you know connects to your arteries and won't let go. And now you're moving in that thing. All of a sudden, your energy level's going up. Oh, you feel like a brand new person now. All of a sudden, you put on those jeans you had on last Monday. You got to put a belt, and you didn't need no belt the last time. Everybody want to know if you're sick. No, tell them I'm not sick. I just got a king's diet now. She saw what was on his table. She saw what was on his table. Some people, when they see what's on your table, they can determine your future. They can determine if they're going to make an investment, they want to make an investment on something that has long term. So they look at your table and they can tell by looking at your table how long you're going to be here. Because you're dealing with people who have knowledge, who study, who have information. You're not dealing with people who are elementary that'll go with just anything you say. The questions that she asked, she had to be satisfied with the answers. Y'all still with me? This is why you need to listen to me. I can help you in more than just church. You just limit me and you try to say, well, if I don't need to be preached to or taught this Christian way, I'm okay. Well, let's get into some of those other areas too, because the Bible covers the whole man, not half the man. You just had a half in preaching man, but this man believes in the Bible. Can we go on? Number four, have a seating order for the servants. She looked at the servants. There should be a seating order. Everybody can't come sit up here. Everybody can't come sit there. There's a certain order. If it's not on the order, they can't get up here. She admired the seating of the servants. You'd be surprised at what people look at that you don't look at. Your seating is everything. Who you have in certain seats is everything. You put the wrong person in the wrong seat, you can miss your camels. Some people wonder, why didn't they put me there? Why didn't I get in the 12? Because we want our camels. You want our camels too. So let us get the right people in the right seats and we're going to have our wealth. And guess what? You're going to be impacted too. Rub shoulders with us long enough. I promise you, what be on us will be on you. So having the seating order for the servants is very important. Let me go back. I need to go back because somebody's in question. And listen to this. In verse 5, we're still in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 5. And the food on his table and the seating of his servants. And see, it's in the Bible. We can't reject it. Right people, right seats. Right people praying. Right people handling the praise and worship. Right people on the keyboard, on the lead guitar, bass guitar, drum. Right people everywhere. When you're believing for something big, you can't just grab somebody out the closet that just woke up with sleepy in their eyes, unaware of anything that's going on around. No, you can't do that. What's coming is too big for you to just grab somebody on your way to church and then put them up in front of people. You got to have the right. Look at your neighbor. Tell them we're working on something. I'm going to take it a little bit. I'm going to take it a little bit deeper. You can't have people in your children's ministry screaming at children. No, you can't. They got screamed at home. They got to be taught and loved at church. We ain't screaming at no children in our children. There's too much screaming, too much negativity and curses happens in our home. That's why we got to clean them up. Because we got to bring them back into royalty when they come into a house like this. And we got to teach them how that this is how we communicate with human beings. You're coming up, you're a prince or a princess, and sooner or later you're going to step into royalty. And we got to teach you that by our communication with you. So have a seating order for the servants according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Let's go back. Let's go back because I don't want you to miss anything. And then it says the servants have a seating order. The service of his waiters and their apparel. I'm not sloppy. You can't be sloppy. Now, we didn't just get up out of the bed, y'all. Now, I know I'm not expecting you to have on a gown tonight. But when you're expecting something, and something big, don't look like you just got out of the bed. It's a repellent. I ain't telling you you got to put on a full face of makeup. I'm not telling you that. But that dress and a good iron, it'll take care of business. It'll take care of business. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. And you got to train your mind. You're going somewhere. Now, if you can throw it in the dryer and it come out without wrinkles, go ahead and put it on. But you got to understand that in this season, you need to look a certain way for the day that you come into. So you can't be slumped over. Your appearance is everything. The way your posture is everything. But what this round, you don't know who's watching. I don't have a problem with a bald cap in the church. Don't have a problem with it at all. Just wear it well. Just wear it well. Wear it like you're going somewhere. Yeah, I go to the gym 3 times a week. 3 times a week. I don't ever look like I'm at the gym. When I say I'm not wearing anything in there with holes in it and faded out with bleach spots all over it. No, I'm going somewhere. Sheba may be in the gym that day. You don't know where they gonna see you. You don't know where you're going. In the least likely places, your camels may be there. If you understand your Bible, while Abraham was climbing up the mountain, he passed by his provision while he was on his way up the mountain. So it is a possibility that you pass what's about to bless you. On that mountain, he was named Jehovah Jireh, meaning he is our provider. You may be walking by your provision and it doesn't recognize you. Nothing's wrong with that. That's good. But the pictures we're going to take, y'all going to have on a suit and a tie. Okay. All right. See, they got it. See, no problem. And we're just telling you, you need to look like where you're going. Now, I don't want to see y'all in here in no suit and tie on no Wednesday night. But the woman, this is what she noticed. All I pulled out of the scripture was what she noticed. You can prepare for a lot of things, But you, do you know what your elevation person notices? She said it. She's telling the king, I notice your waiters. I noticed what they had on. I was checking out your cupbearer. But what really blew me away is the parking lot leading to the church. In this season, we're going to have to make sure we restripe the parking lot. And we're going to have to clean up the streets that lead to the church. We're not leaving it on the neighborhoods. That's not the neighborhood's responsibility. That's our responsibility. Do you get, you got that, community bishop? So every street that leads to the church, our men who meet at the 50, go meet on the streets, because we never know when Sheba's gonna pull up and we don't know which direction she's gonna come from. So we have to make sure the entrance ways look pleasant, because we don't want her to come in and have made her decision before she even gets on the parking lot. Y'all better get ready. Most decisions about people like this are not made when they hear the praise and worship. They're not made when they hear the preaching. They're made when they are made about a block away, coming up towards the campus. What does it look like on its way to your house? Not when we get in your house. Somebody say the camels are coming. Woo. Y'all about to get so blessed you ain't gonna know what to do with yourself. I thought about this at home, and I'm not telling you to do anything. But people invest more into people who look like they bless. I've been around it. The more you look like you got, the more people want to get involved. Wait, what are you trying to do? Tell us to put on a show? No, I'm just telling you to iron your clothes. You ain't got to put on a show. You don't have to buy anything else. You can make old look really good. Let me help you with something. The first part of this building was built in 1956. That's 10 years before I was born. What do you think they're doing with flipping houses? They take an old structure. And you think if they can flip a house, they can't flip you? You think the Holy Spirit can't flip you and make you look brand new? That can happen tonight. All you got to do is allow it. The right contractor with the right expertise. Girl, you can walk out of this house and scare who's at home when you get there. They'd be wondering where this stranger come from. Just tell them, I was at Refresh and I got renovated. These are just things. If you only knew who was surveying you. That's the problem. That's the problem sometimes. We don't know who's surveying us. Can we go on? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So we're going to make sure that it looks good coming in and it looks good going out. We're going to make sure it's pleasant when they come in, and we're going to make sure they're pleasant when they go out. They're going to feel so good, they're going to dream about us. Yeah. They're going to wake up on Tuesday. Oh, I thought I was at Refresh. Y'all good, right? Did I skip one? Okay, let's go back. Number five can be number six because I didn't put numbers on mine. Serve with excellence and dress neat. I got into it, but you need to see it. Serve with excellence. If you're serving with excellence, you got a good attitude. You can't have a bad attitude and serve with excellence. There's no way to serve in excellence with a bad attitude. A bad attitude is going to always shift your service down several degrees. I can see a bad attitude a mile away. And I always try to make sure that I don't see that bad attitude too many times. Because bad attitudes are contagious and has a negative impact on a good work. I'm 1 minute over, but I only got one more point after this one. So serve with excellence and dress neat. I love going around and I see good old Bradford out and they're uniformed and they really got it going on. They're serving with excellence. I'm impressed with that. So I tell people about them. But when I see something that doesn't have excellence with it and it's not neat, I'm quiet. If ever I don't say anything about some service that I've gotten for some person, if I don't say anything about it publicly, I don't want to embarrass myself about saying something about something that doesn't have consistency. If you want people to say good things about you, you set a certain standard. You set a standard of excellence and you make sure it's neat. And I promise you, people will talk about you in a good way that don't even know you. This woman saw that. I don't believe that it was on King Solomon's mind until she said, "Ooh, my waiters and my cupbearers, they showing off. So much so, they got the attention of someone who was just journeying through because they heard about us." So I did already cover the pathway that leads to God's house should trump everything else. Last thing. Now I want y'all to watch this kind of stuff. I want y'all to watch this in church. You got to watch this in church. Because nobody, and I talked about attitude. Ain't nobody in this church got no business having no bad attitude and been here a long time. They ain't got no business having no bad attitude. Listen to this. Men and servants are happy because King Solomon's wisdom, his wisdom, is empowering them. Men and servants are happy because King Solomon's wisdom is empowering them. Everybody was happy because when he spoke, everybody had the opportunity to be empowered. Everybody, when he opened up his mouth, it was deliverance for everybody. It was an opportunity of wealth for everybody. It was opening up the minds of everybody when he opened up his mouth. So they were all happy because they were all advancing. Could you imagine this? Just imagine, she brought in, Queen of Sheba brought in 4.5 tons of gold. And King Solomon was more well off than she was. Now, this is just my mind thinking. If King Solomon was that well off, I believe the men, the servants, the cupbearer, the waiter had it going on. See, y'all miss that. Y'all miss that. The keyboardist was rolling. The keyboardist was on cribs. If y'all get this stuff right, you will never shake hands with a broke usher again. If y'all get this right, you will never interact with somebody that's broke as a greeter and saying praise the Lord. They ain't gonna just be saying praise the Lord. You gonna see praise everywhere. All over them. Their children are going to be saying praise your Lord. I thank God that my mama is an usher because look what the Lord has done. There are no small positions in the king's house. Y'all miss it. There are no small positions in the king's house. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, because being a doorkeeper, it means I got access. How many of y'all know you got access? If I'm a member, just let me be a member. Just let me be on the parking lot. Just let me be in the children's ministry. Just let me put my hand. Let me turn the lights on. Any type of involvement with this kind of thing that the Lord was doing, it will tremendously bless your life. Somebody put your hand on your chest. Say, he's talking about me. I always knew this, Lady Davis. If you just let me have access, I'll work my way up. If you just show me favor, if you smile at me, if you nod your head at me the right way, I'm gonna make some stuff go happen. See, some of y'all don't know what a good nod is like. See, if you understand what a nod is like, that's called acceptance. And now you better work your acceptance, because not only did you get access to the church, you got access to the promise over the church. Now what you gonna do with that? I said, what are you going to do with that? Because I believe that everything that God promised David, and everything that God promised King Solomon, and everything that God promised Queen of Sheba, and everything that God promised the waiter, the cupbearer, the men, and the servants, it all came on everybody. That's why they were happy. And let me say it like this. It don't matter if you're not happy now anyway. The camels are already here. Slap you about three people, high five. Tell them I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. We ain't gonna work around you. We gonna work over you. Everybody think that somebody's gonna work around them. No, in this season, we gonna run right over you, because we gonna get what God promised us that we could have. Does anybody got a shout in this atmosphere? If you don't hook up, you just a joke sitting up in a house like this, with a blessing on a house like this, with an anointing on a house like this, with a leader in a house like this, and you struggle to receive. Shout! The camels are coming. 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 It's in the atmosphere. It's in the fiber. It's in the property. It's in the house. Okay, take you about 5 minutes and just lose it, because the camels are not just coming, the camels are already here.
is what God said a long time ago. But the time of the manifestation is now.
You don't need 12 unless you're protecting the increase. You don't need 12 unless you're expecting something big. You don't need a government unless you have some valuables. And the reason we're prophetically setting up government, because God is about to load this place down with blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. And I got to set up an annual government so that everything that God give us, that no witch can ever come in and steal it. No Judas can ever come in and take it. Now shout about 12, because the 12 set the stage for the camels. Gotta go home, y'all. The Lord told me today, all I need you to do is put it in the atmosphere. That's my job, is to put it in the atmosphere. It's His job to manifest it. He's already shown me. His manifestation promises have already started. They're not about to start. It's because I was willing to open up my mouth in obedience. Now the manifestation, angels. Angels, they're bringing to pass what I put in the atmosphere. Shout one more time.
Hey, if you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.